Open up first to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And we're going to take a look at a couple of things here right at the beginning. Then we're going to look at some verses we read, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but we're going to look at them for a little bit different purpose tonight. Just a little bit different. You'll understand when we get there. But in John chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Now jump to verse 14. "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." Now jump to verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now back up to the beginning. Verses 4 and 5. "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Now the analogy, for you know, back in those days, the sheep, the shepherd would be around the sheep so much that the sheep got used to hearing his voice. And the shepherd would try his best to keep the lambs that were born with their mothers near him so they would get used to hearing his voice, his voice, his voice. And if there was a lamb that was a little rebellious, the shepherd might somehow keep that, like hold the lamb until it got too heavy to carry, or keep it really close to him, like maybe to a, with a rope or something like that, so that that lamb heard his voice, just continually heard his voice. The reason that they did that was so the shepherd could just begin calling and the sheep would come. Okay, they were so accustomed to the voice of the shepherd that they knew when the shepherd was calling. So Jesus was using that analogy, and quite frankly, he was, not only was he speaking prophetically, because he's talking about a kingdom principle, but I'll say it like this. He was speaking by faith, because he's making an assumption that people are going to be with him and close enough to him so much that they recognize his voice. Now, is that the way it is in the body of Christ? Well, how many times have we wished we knew when God was speaking to us? How many times have we sat around, "I just wish I knew the difference between my voice, you know, my conscience, you know, my thoughts on the inside, you know, that voice, and the voice of the Lord. I just wish I could distinguish between all of that." Well, let's look someplace else here. Turn over to 2 Timothy. Jesus said, chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, No, I'm sorry, make it chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Jesus made the statement, "My sheep know me, and they know my voice. And they won't follow a stranger, but they'll only follow me, the shepherd, because they know the shepherd's voice." But now in 2 Timothy chapter 4, take a look, beginning in verse 2. Paul is speaking to Timothy, writing to him. He says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." So what's he warning here? What he's warning is sheep that start listening to so many other voices that the voice they finally choose to follow is not the voice of their shepherd. And where he talks about fables, he's not talking about, Goldilocks and the Three Bears or Cinderella. I mean, he's not talking fables like that. What he's talking about is any kind of a teaching or doctrine that does not line up with truth. That's why he makes that statement to Timothy about, you know, be steadfast and, you know, hang in there, Timothy, and preach sound doctrine and so forth. Because the day is coming that people are going to turn their ears away from truth. Now, if Timothy is preaching sound doctrine and people are turning their ears away from the truth, then in the natural, from whom are they turning away? Timothy, Paul, or any of the rest of them. You see what I'm saying? Because if those preachers are steadfast in delivering truth, but then the people begin turning away from truth and following after, you know, wrong teaching, then not only are they turning away from truth, but they're turning away from the people who are delivering the truth. And he says they're following after preachers. And I'm paraphrasing here, but he says they're following after preachers and teachers that are teaching them fables. They have these itching ears. Well, the only way that that can happen, no, it's not the only way. There are two ways this can happen. One is, you really never know the voice of the shepherd to begin with. Or two, you turn away from the voice that you once knew. Those are the two ways that it can happen. Now, when I say turn away from the voice that you once knew, I'm not talking about you embrace other gods and things like that, and, you know, to coin the phrase that you're losing your salvation. That's not what we're talking about here. We are talking about people who turn away from the truth unto things that just don't line up with truth. Okay, now, turn over to Acts chapter 16. Well, no, I'll tell you what. Just go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians. We'll save a few minutes here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In Acts chapter 16, and you can go back and read this later, Acts 16 verse 1, this is when Paul meets Timothy. And when he meets Timothy, in the course of their conversation, relationship, and so forth, he asks Timothy if he'd like to go with him. You know, Timothy, you know, you want to go with me? I'm on my travels, on my journeys. Now, let me ask you a question. You know, if you had lived back in those days, wouldn't you have wanted to travel with Paul? That would have cost you a lot. You know, you'd have been saying goodbye to family, and you don't know when the next time you're going to be back in town and all that. But, I mean, my goodness, can you believe that? What if you'd received a phone call, you know, from Kenneth Hagin, and he had said to you, you know, I'd like for you to travel with me as I, you know, cross this country and this world and preach and teach the Word. Wouldn't that have been exciting? You know, and like a Dave Roberson or somebody else, if they were to say, would you like to go with me? And somebody, who wouldn't? You want me to go with you? Wow! Now, from Timothy's perspective, when Paul shows up, you know that they had told him about Paul ahead of time. Paul's reputation spread. And then one day, here comes Paul and he shows up on the scene and they say, Timothy, you know, we'd like to introduce you to Paul. And you know how it is sometimes, you get like, oh gosh. And it's like you don't know what to say. You know how it is, right? Well, I'm sure that Timothy probably went through some of that. But nevertheless, he ended up leaving with Paul. And he wasn't the only person that traveled with Paul. There were several others as well, and they're identified in Scripture. And then some are referred to, but they're not identified by name. But nevertheless, Timothy, he traveled with Paul. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 17, Paul's writing to the Corinthians, and he says, for this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, we had talked about this and some other verses we'll look at in just a moment, and how that Timothy understood the doctrine that Paul preached and taught. Otherwise, Paul would not have sent him as his representative. So in this particular verse, Paul has sent Timothy to the church at Corinth to help keep these people straight on their doctrine. Now look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, kind of a similar verse. Just look in verses 1 and 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brethren, minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. So once again, Paul is sending Timothy as his representative, this time into Thessalonica and the churches in that region to help them become established in the faith or in doctrine. Now look over in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul identifies himself in verse 2, his salutation, verse 1, and in verse 2 he says, "Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace and mercy and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." So now here's Timothy in Ephesus. Now I don't know the exact time frames and how long Timothy was in all of these places, but we have a record of three different cities and regions that Timothy went as Paul's representative. Corinth, Thessalonica, and then here in Ephesus. So Timothy represents Paul, goes into these regions to make sure that the people are teaching correct doctrine. So Timothy obviously had to know what he was talking about, or he couldn't have done this. Now look over in one other place. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul writes in verse 6, "Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also." And we'll just read that one verse, but essentially, now we see Titus has been sent to Corinth as a representative of Paul. Turn over to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. And in verse 1, Paul again identifies himself, and this carries on, you know, some exhortation in verse 2 and in verse 3, but then he picks up in verse 4, and he says, "To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee." So here's Titus. He's been to Corinth. Now we see that he goes to Crete. So we have two people, Titus and Timothy, that Paul feels so comfortable with that he sends them on his behalf. And as we said before, when we talk about these passages, Paul was so comfortable and so confident in what Timothy and Titus knew, understood, and how they lived, that he could send them as his representative, knowing that when they got there, it would be their personalities and their language, I mean, their you know, voice and so forth, but the message, the doctrine, was going to be the same. There would be absolutely no difference. Now, here's what's interesting. We don't know how Paul or how Timothy and Titus got there. In other words, how did they get from where they were to where to the point of being so in favor with Paul that Paul believed he could send them on his behalf? Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to point some things out. You know, we've gone through 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in detail in the past, but I want to point some things out here to you because, you know, this is talking about the doctrine that's been established, the things that they preach and so forth. But if you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 6, it says, "Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Now jump down to verse 13. "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Now, in verses 6, 7, and 13, Paul does not say, "I taught this to you," but notice he uses the plural, "which we teach unto you." So, when he says, "what we teach unto you," that means that it's not just me, Paul, who's doing this. That those who are with me are able to do the same thing. That means, for example, that Titus and Timothy fit in to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 when Paul talks about what's being delivered to the people, the doctrine that's being delivered to the people. And then when he says in verse 13 that these things that we're talking about, he says, you know, it's not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So now, What we want to know is, how did Timothy and Titus, or any of the others, go from who they were and where they were in their walk with God to the point that Paul felt so comfortable with them, he commissioned them to go out on his behalf and deliver doctrine, knowing that what he taught to the people, or what they taught to the people, would be the same thing that he would teach. Now let me ask you a question. Don't you think it would make you feel good if a guy like Paul had so much confidence in you, he could say, I'm staying here, but you go to the largest church in this day and time, there at Ephesus, and you help establish doctrine? I mean, wouldn't that be like a feather in your cap? I don't know about you, but I think I'd kind of like, you know, Paul, are you sure about this? I mean, you know, you're the man. You're the guy that was caught up to the third heaven. You're the one that's had this encounter with Jesus, you know, and you want me to go? Yeah, he says, yeah, you know, you're ready. You can do this. It's like, whoa, all right. But you know what? Paul also had to be confident that Titus and Timothy wouldn't get caught up with pride, or he wouldn't have sent them. In other words, he had to be so confident in their walk with God that he knew he could trust them. He knew that they wouldn't go in and slam the people for money and all this kind of stuff. He knew that he could trust them. Well, how did they get from where they were to being Paul's representative? Well, we don't have to go into a tremendous amount of detail. I mean, he tells you here in verse 13, words which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Well, then if you jump over, and you don't have to do that right now, but if you jump over to chapter 14, where he talks about praying in the Spirit, and he explains the benefits of praying in tongues, you know that's what he taught Timothy and Titus and anybody else that hung around him. Now, you know that. Okay, now, let's just kind of think for a minute here. Do you think it's possible that Timothy and Titus had some questions when they first started traveling with Paul? Well, Paul, what about this and what about that? Well, Paul, what about this and what about that? Paul, I noticed you spent a whole lot of time praying in tongues. Why is that? Well, because I can... Well, he says, well, I can tell you now, or you can wait until the Bible's written and read 1 Corinthians 14. I want to know now, Paul. So he says, okay, well, see, it's an edification process, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so he explains that to them. Now, do you think that they began applying it? Do you think that they applied what they heard? Okay, here's what it boils down to. The reason that Timothy and Titus got to the point of being able to represent Paul and teach the exact same kind of doctrine that Paul would teach, two things. What they heard and what they did. What they heard and what they did. Because if they had heard anything other than what would have produced the spiritual edification in them so that they could be prepared for promotion, then they would have not been prepared for promotion, because what they would have heard wouldn't have worked. You follow me? You see what I'm saying? If Paul had said, offering up billy goats on an altar of sacrifice is what will cause you to mature spiritually, then you'd have had Timothy and Titus out there looking for billy goats. But no, Paul didn't teach them that. He taught them about praying in tongues. But it wasn't just a matter of what they heard. It was also a matter of them applying what they heard. So here's Paul. The story, you know, we read about it, or no, I referred to it, Acts chapter 16, that's where he meets Timothy. Now, he meets Timothy. Paul's already been ministering for a while, okay? In other words, Paul's got some miles on his tires, if you will. He's been around the block a few times. He's been in a few cities. He's, you know, helped establish churches. He's ministered to people. The power of God has flowed through him. He's had these great encounters with God, and he understands these things. And now he's establishing and he's teaching a doctrine, things that would become Scripture. But he picks Timothy up, midstream. Now, Paul already knows what he's teaching and preaching. And I'm sure Timothy had heard a lot of teaching and preaching from others, but it wasn't until Acts chapter 16 that he met up with Paul. And it's possible that a lot of what Timothy heard was, you know, somebody had heard it from Paul and they came and they shared it. But nevertheless, he didn't meet up with Paul until Acts chapter 16 verse 1. And so, Paul's been at this. Timothy, well, he's kind of new as far as that kind of ministry is concerned. He wasn't, you know, a new Christian, but he was kind of new as far as that ministry was concerned. Paul says, well, listen, why don't you go with me? I mean, people say you're a pretty good guy and all this. Why don't you go with me? Now, you know that Timothy had all kinds of questions, regardless of what he'd heard taught and preached in the past. Well, I heard Andronicus say such and such and such and such. Now, is that correct? Paul, yes, that's correct, that's correct. And let me add a little bit to that. Teach, 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 teach. It's like, wow, this is cool. But now, what if Paul had tape sets? Now think for a minute. What if Paul had tape sets? What if he had a tape set on praying in tongues? A tape set on healing? A tape set on baptism? A tape set on deliverance? A tape set, I mean, just whatever. You know, what if he had, like, Paul had a donkey or a camel, but he had another one that was pulling a big cart, and the cart was just loaded down with tape sets. And everywhere he would go, he'd make his tape sets available. Do you think it's possible that Timothy would have gotten those tapes and listened to them? Right along with that, do you think it's possible that if indeed Paul had tape sets like that and Timothy got these tape sets, do you think Paul might have assumed Timothy would listen to them? Okay. Do you think Paul might have assumed that Timothy would not only have listened to them but paid attention to what he was hearing? And do you think it's possible that Paul might have made this grand assumption that a lot of Timothy's questions would be answered on the tapes? Therefore, the discussions that Paul and Timothy would have had would have not been, Paul, I have a question. But they would have been more along the lines of, Paul, you remember when you were teaching on praying in tongues and how that's an edification gift and how that when we pray in the Spirit, our spirit is praying and so forth. Well, Paul, you know, I was thinking about that and let me toss this out to you. Summa, share from edification. In other words, now he's not asking Paul explain the meaning of praying in tongues. He's now having a discussion with Paul based on his understanding of praying in tongues, and he got that understanding from listening to the tapes. Likewise, anything that Paul taught, or another way to put that, whatever we find that Paul wrote here in the New Testament, had it been on tape, Timothy, Titus, and the whole bunch of them, they could have listened to the tapes and gleaned from those tapes. Okay, now, what if Paul had the tapes, and Timothy and Titus are hanging around him. Year goes by. Then one day, Timothy comes up and he says, Paul, I have a question. Paul says, yeah, Tim, what is it? Timothy says, you know, I hear you praying in tongues a lot. Why do you do that? Now, do you think Paul would have kind of like scratched his head and wondered, what in the world is going on with this kid? Timothy, let me ask you a question. You've been traveling with me now for how long? About a year. And we've had that cart of tapes everywhere we go. Yeah? And I gave you a tape player. Yeah? Solar powered at that. Son, what have you been doing? Well, you know, I've been traveling with you. I know that, but What have you... And right about then, Titus walks up. And Titus says, you know, hey, Paul, Paul says, yeah, Titus. Titus says, got a question for you. And Paul says, okay, what is it? And Titus says, you know all that stuff that you teach? When we go, you know, we've Ephesus and Corinth and Jerusalem and all these different cities and towns and villages. And, you know, all the stuff you're teaching us, like, man, this is just awesome stuff. You know, where do you get this? And now Paul, scratching the other side of his head, he says, Titus, how long have you been with me? And Titus says, well, you know, a little over a year. Well, the tapes, uh-huh. Well, the tape player, uh-huh. Solar-powered, oh yeah. What have you been doing? Well, I've been traveling with you, Paul. Do you think Paul would wonder, what's wrong with these guys? Do you think Paul might have a tendency to look at them and say, all right, now, hold on a second here. Timothy, you want to know why I pray in tongues, and Titus, you want to know where I get all the stuff that I'm teaching. Okay. Now, Timothy, I've got 3 tape sets back over here, and Titus, I've got 2 tape sets back over here. Now, Timothy, you need to get those 3 tape sets to talk about praying in tongues. And Titus, you need to get the 2 tape sets to talk about edification into the understanding of the things of the kingdom of God. You get those tapes and you listen to them. Do you think Paul would have wasted his time reteaching for 1.5 hours to 2 hours to 3 to 4 hours with each one of them what was available to them? Now, when Paul was traveling with Titus and Timothy, remember when Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice? Okay. When Titus and Timothy were traveling with Paul, now we know that Jesus is like, you know, the chief shepherd, okay? But Paul was the shepherd to Timothy and Titus. See, if you don't know how to hear God, then what good is your pastor? I don't care, you know, how big the church is. If you don't know how to hear God, let me rephrase it. If you don't know how to hear God, what in the world is being taught? The next question is, if you don't know how to hear God and you're being taught correctly, what in the world are you applying? See, this whole thing of hearing the voice of God, it is not a mystery. It's simply not a mystery. But religion makes it a mystery and makes it sound like some kind of shrouded, you know, thing that nobody can tap into. You never know. And God, in fact, you know, I heard people teach when I was growing up, God doesn't speak today. It's like, come on, give me a break. I found out later He does. How do you know? I heard Him. One time He got on me about something. I'm not going to tell you about that. I mean, He gave me a little tongue lashing. I straightened up. Hallelujah. I'm still here. I straightened up. But anyway, Paul was like the shepherd to Timothy and Titus. But the time came that they took their shepherding, if you will, and they had been applying. It wasn't just what they heard, but it was what they did with what they heard. And they got to the point to where they didn't have to ask the questions anymore. You say, well, how do you figure that, Brother Martin? Because if they were still full of questions, they would never have been sent to Crete or to Ephesus or to Thessalonica to establish doctrine. They had to be prepared to answer the questions about doctrine. Because when he got in there, those people were messed up on some stuff. And so Timothy had to straighten things out, Titus had to straighten things out, and the only way that could be done is if they had passed from asking questions to having discussions. Instead of asking Paul, what does this mean? How does this work? Why do you do that? They were talking about the results of doing what they heard. So, Paul was at a disadvantage in that he didn't have tapes. Because, now listen to this, Titus and Timothy were at the mercy of Paul's physical strength. How long can you talk, Paul? And how long can we listen? I mean, we are tired after walking for 8 hours to get from city number 1 to city number 2. We're going to have to set up the tents and all this other. Do you see what I'm saying? You understand this? So Paul was at a disadvantage because you know, you can only stay awake so many hours a day. And then Timothy and Titus also. I mean, when you get tired, you get tired. It's hard to pay attention. You know, when this body says, I am ready to shut down. I am ready to go to sleep. I don't want to hear anything else anymore tonight. I'm going to sleep. You know what that's like? You know how miserable that is. Your head's doing this and your eyelids and you're trying to stay awake and listen and you hear about every 15th word and you think, I'll just get the tape. Huh? Amen. I've been there too. But they didn't have that luxury. And so from that perspective, we have the greatest advantage that you can possibly imagine. Okay, now let's bring this home. I've shared this story before, but I'll share it again and lead up to, you know, a different part of it. Years ago, I was pastoring, and it was before I came here. And, you know, God was dealing with me about a pastor. And he said, you know, the people there in the church, he said, you know, you want them to recognize you as a pastor and so on and so forth. And I said, well, yeah, I mean, I'm the pastor. He said, well, who's your pastor? I said, well. And as soon as he asked me that question, I knew where he was headed. And so I said, well, I don't know. And so I started thinking about it. And he didn't say anything else. And so I started thinking about it. It's like, well, I know what he's getting at. He's wanting me to have a pastor. So I thought, okay, well, now, let's see. Maybe this person or maybe that person or maybe be... And I'm thinking on this, maybe this one, that one, the other one. And so then finally I decided, well, now wait a minute. Why don't I ask God? It's like, okay, God, you brought this up. You obviously have something in mind here. So who do you want me to have as a pastor? And he said, well, who's feeding you? I said, well, Dave Roberson. He said, well, all right then. I said, well, that's pretty simple. So again, making a long story short, I made contact and so forth and shared what God had said to me. And, well, the end result is, you know, Dave Roberson is my pastor. Okay, now, because he was my pastor, he was my shepherd. Now, let's put it in Bible terms. I was the Timothy, he's the Paul, okay? And to this day, I mean, I still consider him to be my pastor. Well, because I knew what was going on in my life, and, you know, now that we have this arrangement here, he's my pastor, okay? I wanted to hear everything that my shepherd had to say. And so I contacted the ministry, and I began asking for tapes. I mean, every single tape set that he had available. I wanted it. And I would take those tapes, and I would listen to them. Because, you see, he already had miles on his tires. Are you with me? And he had already taught these things. So, because he had already taught them, but I wasn't there when they were taught years and years ago. I wasn't around at that time. But because it was on tape, he didn't have to spend 2 or 3 hours on a telephone with me trying to explain something that was all recorded on tape. All he had to do was say, you know, you need tape set 1, 2, 3, and 4. And you listen to those. And this is that'll answer all your questions about, you know, this thing and that thing and the other thing. And so I got the tapes, and I would listen to those tapes, and I would listen to them over and over and over again. And I would follow along in Scripture, and I would pray in the Spirit while I was doing this. And it got to the point to where, concerning praying in tongues, okay? We'll just use that as an example. It got to the point to where I didn't have to ask him questions. You know, you talk about praying in tongues a whole lot, Pastor Dave. Why do you do that? No longer did I have to ask him that. Now, I can go to the passages, and he and I could maybe sit together with our Bibles open and talk about these things from the same perspective. Now, I'm not saying I am equal to him, okay? Don't misunderstand my words. And I'm not saying that I'm walking in the same anointing he is. Again, do not misunderstand what I'm talking about. But what I'm saying is, I went from where I was to an understanding of what he taught, and yet it happened by virtue of me hearing and applying what I heard. So I hear about praying in tongues, I start praying in tongues, and as I'm praying in tongues, and I'm following along in Scripture, God's opening up the Word to me. So it goes beyond head knowledge I heard from my shepherd to heart knowledge that's been implanted by the shepherd of shepherds through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So now I am able to carry on a conversation about things. And if I have a question about something, you know, can you go over this verse again? I really wasn't quite, you know, I didn't catch it on the tape. I listened to it and listened to it, but there was like that 90-second blurb there on the tape. I didn't quite catch it. Could you show that? So I still can have questions. But the questions are not like, turn over to Romans chapter 8. Let me give you an example. Romans chapter 8. Now, we've gone through Romans chapter 8, and I've taught on it before, okay? Well, and Pastor Dave's taught on it before. But now, look at verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, somebody, you know, could walk up and say, oh, boy, looky there, looky there. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Well, I tell you what, that's right. Praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost and have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. It's like, well, no, wait a minute. That is not what that verse is saying. So, well, capital S. Well, yeah, I know it's a capital S, but not every capital S is Holy Ghost. Now, I sincerely hope some of these looks I'm getting, you're just kind of playing along with me on this one. Nevertheless, I pulled that one out on purpose for that very reason. What do you mean it's not the Holy Ghost? Why, we were always taught it was the Holy Ghost. You've got to get filled. In fact, I've even heard that before, you know.
That's the Holy Ghost.
No, it's not the Holy Ghost. And I used to think it was because somebody else told me, but then when I started spending time with the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to help me out in this, I began to see, well, no, it's not the Holy Ghost, is it? Even though it is a capital S. That's talking about my new nature. That's talking about the nature of Christ. That's talking about my born-again spirit. If any man does not have the same spirit as Christ, then you can call yourself a Christian, but you're not a Christian. You must be born again. So, you know, what if somebody's hanging around, like out there at the prayer center, and they've been there now for like 3, 4, 5 years, and they walk up one day to Pastor Dave and they start talking about that, you know, Romans 8, verse 9, the Holy Ghost. And he's going to look at them and think, are you weird? You know, you have been here, and all these tapes are available. Why are you asking me that question? Instead of asking me that question, you should be able to explain this to somebody who's new. You should be able to convey to them, in fact, you should be able to break down all of Romans chapter 8 for them right after you've broken down all of Romans chapter 7 for them, followed up with your breakdown of Romans chapter 6. You should be able to do that for them. You've been here all this time. Oh my gosh, gee whiz, Pastor Dave, I just don't know these things. He says, ah, you've been running short on wisdom, have you not? Because they're all on tape. You need to get tape set number 3, tape set number 8, tape set number 15. Listen to those, and then come back and tell me in 6 months, after you've listened to them, and it's ingrained in you, tell me what you have. Now, here's what I'm getting at. You know, the tapes help, but you've got to apply what you hear. However, if you haven't heard anything, there's nothing to apply. Now, here's the problem. A lot of folks, they'll hear a sermon one time, that's it, man. They think they know it. Well, I've got news for you. It's nothing personal, but you don't. Now, here's how I know this, and I am not, please don't anybody get upset with me. But you know, folks that have been around here for a few years, and they come up and they start asking me questions about stuff, and I know doggone well that I taught on it. In some cases, I know they were here and they heard the whole series. But even beyond that, the whole tape, the tape sets are out there. Now, let me ask you this. And again, poker face time. How many of those tape sets have you been listening to? How many of the tapes from these messages are you... And in other words, how much of the information that's come forth from this pulpit do you know? Well, gosh, you expect me to know it all? No, I don't expect you to remember and be able to repeat. But here is my expectation. That you'll be able to go through the Word and with your own personality and your own voice and your own style, but you're going to be able to deliver these things the same way that I have. There should be no difference. Here's why. We're all part of the same body, body of Christ. We all have access to the same nature, the born-again spirit. We all have access to the same Bible and the same Holy Ghost. And after what we know concerning what Paul has written in the Bible relative to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer, there's no reason for us to not know these things. Now, some things may take us a little bit longer on meditation and you know, dragging them out and really getting them confirmed, like Romans verse 8, chapter 8, verse 9, big S, little s, Holy Ghost, human, born-again spirit. I mean, it may take a little bit of digging there, but the thing about it is, you have more available to you than what Timothy and Titus had. I mean, we all have the same Holy Ghost, but you have more available to you from the perspective of the teaching. Okay, now, let's kind of take this another step further. Somebody comes in here to the church, and let's say that they've been in ministry before. Let's say that they've maybe even pastored, and they have been involved in their church if they weren't pastoring. And they've been in this church like 15 years or whatever. Well, then they hear a message, a tape, about praying in tongues. And they get really excited about it. And so they listen to that tape, they wear it out, they follow along in Scripture, and boy, now they know that you're supposed to pray in tongues. So if it's a pastor, he starts teaching it to his church. Now, this is a church that believes in being filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? Or if it's not a pastor, it's, whatever the situation would be, whatever church they go to, but, they preach Jesus. Well, the people in the church, man, they're not receiving this very well. And in the case of the pastor, it's like, we believe in being filled with the Holy Ghost, but all this praying in tongues stuff, we've never heard this before. We don't believe in this. We don't care what you say. We're voting you out. So, he's out the door. And in the case of the non-pastor that's trying to share these things with other people in the church, the pastor says, this isn't right, and we don't believe that way, and so, out. Well, they end up here. Now, they believe in praying in tongues, okay? And in the case of the pastor or, in the others, they have 15 years of hands-on ministry experience. So they walk in here and they find out, wow, you guys believe in praying in tongues too? Well, Shundai, I have found home. This is my Canaan land. Hallelujah. I have crossed the Jordan. But anyway, they're happy to be here, okay? They think that because they believe in and practice or apply praying in tongues, and because they've had 15 years of pastoral experience or 15 years in ministry experience or 10 years or 8 years or 5 years, whatever, they think that because, they haven't just sat on a pew, they have been active. They think they're ready to step in and do something here. Now, you got some of you kind of chuckling. And believe it or not, over the years of my ministry, that's happened. But they think they're ready because, well, I've done stuff before and I've been involved for years in the past. Well, okay, praise God for that. But you don't have a clue what's going on here. Well, it's a church, is it not? Yeah, it's a church, but here's what you need to do. Now listen, here's what you need to do. You need to learn the voice of your shepherd. I'm not talking Jesus. Well, ultimately, yes. You need to learn the voice of your shepherd. Now, may I be so bold as to say, there are people here at this church, they know who I am, but they don't know the voice of their shepherd. You say, well, how do you figure that? Because over the years, they still cannot explain things. Well, I'll just leave it vague. They still can't explain certain things. And there's no reason for that. There is no excuse for that. Because Timothy and Titus, do you think Timothy and Titus and Barnabas and Silas, do you think that they were the only ones that ever traveled with Paul? They're not. If you go back and you read Paul's writings, you're going to find that there are others that traveled with him but turned their back on him and went out preaching other things. Paul wrote it. It's in there. Just go back and read all of what Paul wrote. The reason was because they never learned to hear the voice of their shepherd. They listened to a certain point, but beyond that, they began developing itching ears and stepped away from their shepherd to create for themselves their own doctrine and their own ministry. Now, for us here, here's what's supposed to happen in a church. The people in the church are supposed to... Now, you know, boy, this rule, technically this rule applies in every church, but it is a relative statement. If the shepherd of the local church is teaching the people how to hear the voice of the chief shepherd, all right, you're on the right track, okay? In a church like that, wherever it's located, anywhere in the world, in a church like that, the people in that church are supposed to be following after the pattern that is set so that they come to the point of being able to deliver the doctrine exactly as the shepherd would deliver the doctrine. Their personality, their voice, their style, but they should be at the place of being able to deliver that doctrine in the same way. There should be no questions. Eventually, okay, there is a growing period, we understand that, but eventually there should be no questions. Now, here's something that really saddens me, and that is when people act like that I know more. Well, I may understand things more in Scripture to a certain point, but it's when people act like they can't. Let's put it like that. It's like when they act like they can't know or can't understand. Well, you know, Brother Martin, you went to school and you did this. But wait a minute. Wait, you've got the same Bible and you've got the same Holy Ghost. There is no reason that we all cannot be walking in the same understanding to the point that you could go out. Somebody will want me to come and preach, but, you know, I'm not, okay? I'm not going to go, but I can send you out. And you will go and you will teach and preach whatever's out there on that wall, whatever has come forth from this pulpit. You will be able to teach and preach the exact same thing, and they'll hear a different voice from mine, but the information, the doctrine, it's all going to be the same, exactly the same. No difference whatsoever. But people have to apply what they hear. But if you're not hearing, how do you know what to apply? This is one of the greatest values for the tape ministry. It's because everything that is preached and taught is recorded, and everybody has access to it. Now, I'm going to say, you know, somebody might say, well, you're just trying to boost tape sales. You can't boost what you don't have. Until God changes things, you know what the policy is around here. We don't have a price tag on the tape sets. It's up to you and God to come up with whatever you do as far as money is concerned. But there's no price tag. So we can't be boosting tape sales. But what I'm getting at is this. Somebody who would ask me, what is it about that Romans chapter 8, verse 9 there? Well, okay, we've got tape sets out there. What is it about this praying and tape sets are out there? Well, I have a question, Brother Martin. I know I've been here for several years now, but I got to know. What do you believe about eternal security? I've got a tape set right out there. Brother Martin, I've been here for a few years, but help me understand this thing about, you know, the financial stuff, sowing and reaping. We got a big tape set right out there. Do you see what I'm saying? If you get the tapes and you listen and you listen and you listen, but pray in the Spirit and follow along in the Word of God. Because the Holy Spirit then is going to be able to take what He deposited in me that I presented to you, and because you're hearing it with your natural ears while you're praying in the Spirit, He can use this to help you in the realm of your spiritual ears. And you're following along in the Bible, and He's going to be able to show you these things. And I'm telling you right now what's going to happen. As you do this, He's going to start speaking to you about something. You're going to have to turn the tape set off and listen to Him and take notes to what He's saying. And in some cases, it can take you 4 or 5 hours to get through a 1-hour tape. Because He starts taking over. But you have to do this. Now, I'm just going to go as far as to say this. If you aren't getting the tapes and you aren't listening to them and feeding on them and going over them again and again and again and again, you wear it out, no problem. Bring it back in. You know, we can dupe it over or whatever. But all that's out there, it's not just to have tapes available. It's so people can accelerate their spiritual growth and maturity. You have the ability to grow faster than Timothy and Titus. Because the only thing you're going to be dependent upon is how soon does this tape wear out? I better be sure I pay my electric bill so I have juice to the cassette player. You see what I'm saying? This is not self-exaltation. This is exhortation to you. Because, okay, Brother Martin is, well, so-and-so came to me and they asked me about such-and-such and I didn't know what to say. Why not? Well, because I just didn't know. I mean, I don't understand. They asked me and I just don't understand. It's like, okay. Then we've got tape set number 1, 2, and 3. And you need to get those tape sets and you listen over and over and listen over and over. Listen over and over. Listen over and over. Listen over and over until you can almost repeat word for word what's on that tape as it's coming off the tape. But pray in the Spirit. Get in the Word. Follow along in the Word. And let the Holy Ghost cause this stuff, this Word, to be sown so deeply in you so that if they ask you the question again, you're going to be able to walk them right through and explain it to them. It's no problem. Absolutely no problem. You know, people, when they talk about dealing with the Internal Revenue Service, they say, ignorance is no excuse. Well, it's true. But you know what? Relative to spiritual things, in some churches, ignorance is no excuse. Not when you have access to all the things that are on tape. Now the thing is this. If you don't do it, then where else are you going to get the information? I mean, how else is it going to come? Because if you don't know it now and you're reading the Bible, where are you going to get the understanding? Well, I'll pray in tongues. I know, and it works. It does work. It really will work. Honestly, it works. But you understand what I'm saying. Timothy and Titus, they prayed in tongues. But they heard Paul teach, and the word was sown, and the Holy Spirit had something to work with on the inside of them. Us, it's the same kind of principle, but thank God we have an advantage. We have all these tapes that are available from good teachers, not just here, but others as well. And I want to encourage you, every person who's a part of this church can go beyond the asking to the point of explaining. Regardless of what it would be. But the key is to apply what you're hearing and allow God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit to work that edification work on the inside of you, because otherwise it's just not going to happen. And I know that if you do this, for everybody who's a part of this church, I know that if you do this, I know this, the day is coming to where you will all be able to go out and preach and teach and deliver God's Word without any hesitation whatsoever. You'll be able to answer questions. You will be able to minister to people. And you won't have to say something like, well, I don't know, let me call my pastor. Now, for those of you that have done things like that in the past or sent me emails, please do not get upset. Please do not think this is a criticism. And please don't feel like you can't ever ask me anything. That is not what this is about. This is to encourage you to look beyond where you are and see where you can be and apply these things. Because the information is out there. It's in here in the Word. It's there on those tapes. Get in there and let God work this work on the inside of you. And who knows? Who knows where this is going to lead for you? Who knows? I may get a phone call from China. Please come and teach a seminar. Well, I can't. I'd rather go to the beach and lay out in the sun that week. But I've got people here in the church that would like to come over, and they're going to do everything I would do. Everything. Are you sure? Did Paul trust Timothy? Did Paul trust Titus? I'm sure. They can do it. Here, I've got a list of 25 people that you can contact. Give them a call. Pray about it. Give them a call. And they'll be there. Someone. They'll come over. And you're going to be glad. Hallelujah. So listen, you be encouraged. Take advantage of this. Don't dismiss it. Apply it, and you're going to change.